Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Sing along with us at home as well. Again, we can't hear you, but we can hear you. So just welcome, and we're just going to do a little bit of worship. Sean is taking a well-needed break this week and spending some time with his family and enjoying some time with his family and himself. We just wish him nothing but good travels on his way home after this wonderful week that he just had. So. Join with us as we continue this Sunday as we worship God.
trial and the pain. I know your promises remain. When the storm is raging, I will not be shaken. All my hope is in you. No matter what may come, your hand will guide me through. And though my heart may fail, my strength is found in you. I will not fear. You're the anchor for my soul. I will trust in you.
Well, good morning, Hosanna. It's good to see all of you this morning, and hello, family and friends online. It's always good to have you joining us as well. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm actually excited because we have some announcements this morning. We haven't had announcements for so long, and it's like, yay, we get to share some announcements with you this morning. Yes. First of all, Tony Blair's class, Hope in Hard Times, that was meeting before the pandemic. Well, it's going to resume for 3 weeks online starting next Sunday. So if you would like to be a part of the last three classes, please email Tony and let him know. Also, questions group is going to resume.
Could I reframe that a little bit?
You can do whatever you would like, Tony.
Everybody who was part of the group beforehand will get an automatic invite.
Yes, all the information you need about these announcements is in the bulletin online, so check it out, all right? Questions group is going to resume on Monday, September 28th from 6:30 to 8. The group for now is going to meet online as well. You can find the link on the Facebook page, and if you want to join, again, email Tony. Right, Tony? Good. And many of you have seen our Hosanna face masks. Aren't they pretty cool?
It's upside down.
It's upside down. Of course it is. Of course it is. There it is. Hosanna's face mask. Some of the staff have been wearing, and we have been getting some requests that some folks would like a Hosanna face mask. So we have some face masks available out at the Welcome Center, and all the donations for those face masks are going to go to our Bulgaria Fund. And friends online, if you would like one, just call the church office and we will reserve one for you. And then at some point when you see us, just drop a donation into the offering bucket. But they're outside at the Welcome Center today, this morning. All righty. And at this point, I would like to invite Cheryl Fonestock, who is our outreach director, to come and share this morning, and invite some other friends to share as well.
And I'm going to hang on to a wipe so I don't forget. Good morning, everyone. And I am thankfully not going to be sharing much today. I was asked by Tony to introduce a lovely couple that I got to know just a little bit when they were coming home, or I got to talk to them a little bit when they were coming home. And I just want to say how much I admire them. This has been a difficult year, obviously, for all of us, a lot of confusion. And most of us were not traveling between countries halfway around the world. So when I got to talk to them, it was kind of a surprise that they were coming home, and there was so much confusion about how long they were going to be staying, what was going to be happening. And I just want to say, from what I saw, they were handling it with such grace and just faith in God that He would direct them and lead them. And I really hope that although there's been a lot of upheaval, confusion during this time, I'm sure when they were home, that they also got to get some rest and some comfort and some blessings in that as well. So saying that, I'd like to introduce Carl and Jackie to come up, share what they've been doing in Eurasia and what they plan to do as they're going back next week.
Well, it's so good to be able to see so many of your faces again. Wow. It was so long that we were even here back in the States, and not being able to meet with you and see you was so difficult for us. And so in the last couple weeks, in the last month, just being able to see so many of you again has been so helpful, you know, for us and encouraging to us.
Higher? No, hold the mic.
There we go. Okay, thank you. I was wondering why I was going in and out. So we were serving in Eurasia, and I do counseling. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I work with workers from all over the world that are working cross-culturally there. I cannot say which country we work in. But as we arrived there, we did 3 months of language study and just started into our ministry, and I was having a wonderful time there, getting to know the great staff, and then suddenly, you know, the bomb dropped, the COVID hit. And we were planning to stick it out, but then the government where we were at closed down all offices, and we were not, as over 65, we were not allowed to leave our apartments. It would have been for over 3 months we couldn't go out the front door. So at that time, we decided to return to the U.S., and Cheryl didn't say it, but she was so gracious, she let us quarantine at her apartment for 2 weeks and moved out so we could do that. So that was just a wonderful blessing. And God has taken care of us during this time. Well, it's been very hard. We came back to a world that was so different than what we left. And we're going back to a world that's going to be different than the world we left again. One of the joys that I had and working with two groups of people that were really joy for me to work with, one was working with men that grew up in the surrounding countries that have come to faith in Christ and are now trying to share the gospel in their own culture and surrounding nations, and just coming alongside of them in their struggles and working with them and helping them was such a joy for me. The other group of people I really liked working with was some young 20-year-old kind of men who were just so eager to be mentored and just coming alongside. I just got an email from one this week that says, when you come back, I want to have those conversations again. So that's been wonderful. So we plan to leave next Sunday and head back. There is some weekend quarantines we may have to do, but it looks like things are functioning. People are able to come into the country again that we can work with and counsel.
I'll say too, little did we know, and you know, and everybody else, what would transpire around March the 1st, give or take. How much our lives would change. And as most of you, the relationships was the biggest thing for me as well, not coming back after, you know, this 6 months even, and not being able to see family and friends. As of last weekend, I feel I've had more contact with my family. I was able to see my mother in person for the first time. I had two times 8 feet apart, outside, whatever, but it was in person, and I could talk without a phone. And my sisters from out of state came in, so I was able to spend more time with them. So I don't know if it can call it closure, but anyway, I feel like I'm just so grateful that I was able to have more time with them in this time. I feel more better returning. As far as our going back again, I will be initially doing basically the same responsibilities in the office. Data entry as far as financial stuff, petty cash, monthly expenses, and all that stuff, greeting the clients, and a lot of other little things that need to be done to keep an office running. I guess last January, I'm going backward now, I made peace my theme for the year. And at that point, of course, I did not realize how often I would be praying for peace in my heart and my mind and to be able to relax in his peaceful presence.
And as I've talked to many of you, that's not easy right now, isn't it? We all have a lot of anxiety, a lot of change in our lives, and that's really affected us both. And to say that I'm not afraid would be a lie. The thought of going back and possibly getting COVID and ending up in a foreign hospital is not something, you know, that creates a little anxiety. But as I was, you know, looking at the reading, you know, singing along, that you know, we can trust God and is the anchor of our soul and in that peace. I came across just a little prayer that really touched my heart. And and I just wanted to read it as closing. God, I know you can work all things together for good, but right now I'm overwhelmed by what's going on around me. The future feels uncertain, and I want to panic. Please help me. Remind me of your promises. Fill me with courage and give me strength for today and hope for tomorrow.
I'm going to sneak around. Normally, we want to pray for Carl and Jackie, and normally we lay hands on you, but we want to send you back, you know, healthy. So I won't do that. But Carl and I had a chance to sit down and talk over lunch here a couple weeks ago, and I'd just been astonished at the amount of challenges the two of these had faced. And yet there was a strong sense of God's calling on them to pick up and go to this foreign country and to go back now. In the middle of all this, I'm just astonished by the courage. And the part of that is just they trust in that calling. And some of us here at Hosanna were invited into that discernment-making process with them. And we got to see the strength of the God's call upon their life. So we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that sense of call remains firm, that the grace is there to deal with whatever is waiting for you in this beautiful country. Carol and I got to briefly visit this beautiful country that they're serving in back some months ago. And we want that to be a wonderful experience of grace for us. So let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for Carl and Jackie. Thank you for everything you have done in your life, in their lives up to this point that has prepared them for this extraordinary adventure that they've been on for the past year or so. It didn't work the way as planned. Not entirely, but it has worked. And they have been involved in the lives of your good people in some tremendous ways, even while here, through the technology that you made available. And now they go back to another country and continue that work, perhaps a little more face-to-face. I pray that you would give them grace for every step of the way, including any surprises that are waiting for them yet. Continue to strengthen their courage, continue to give them wisdom, and Father, most of all, continue to keep them safe. This we pray in your name. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Well, Joanne's coming up. Today is Q&A Uncafe. You know, you realize what the un part is, don't you? We couldn't serve you food.
Right. I really miss the coffee table. I really do. I have to have extra caffeine on my own before I come on Sunday mornings. Hello.
Hello.
Happy holiday weekend.
Yay.
I'm impressed at how many of you are. Go ahead. What?
You need some caffeine, I think.
My energy drink time.
Well, the weather's beautiful, really beautiful. And maybe the lack of energy is some showing you were out enjoying the weather. And we were yesterday,
hi,
my family and I, outside and, doing a lot of walking. So happy holiday weekend. This morning, as Tony said, we're finishing up our teaching series on unseen realities, and we're wanting to have a time to hear some of what God's been doing in our lives over these past weeks of this series. So as you begin to just notice and reflect on your own learning and your own experiences over the last few weeks, let's remember the purpose of this series, which is, why do unseen realities matter, especially now? Well, they matter because for many months now, what we've been seeing with our physical eyes has been so disheartening and so discouraging in so many ways. Our seen realities, what we see online, you know, on the news, those seen realities have multiplied fear and anxiety, increased anger, and deepened despair in many people. And so Tony and I, we sensed that the Holy Spirit wanted us to remind you and ourselves, to remind us that there is always more going on in any moment that meets the eye. And also to encourage us that in Christ, we already have the ability to see beneath and beyond physical reality to what is really real, the really real. See, if only we'll open the eyes of our hearts and open the eyes of our spirits to see.
And this is deeply biblical. This is the root of our faith. Mm-hmm. So one of the verses we've referenced more than once in the past number of weeks is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which is a definition of faith. And what is faith? Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what? What we do not see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is. It's not blind. The stuff is really there. It's just we can't always see it. Mm-hmm. I thought early on when we started this series, we didn't find a good place to put it in, of a great scene from an Indiana Jones movie. Do you remember this one? It's The Last Crusade, I believe. And he comes through a tunnel, comes out to this chasm, and he's on this rock cliff, and there's another cliff over there, but all between is this chasm that you can see as far down as possible, and they can't even see the bottom, and how do I get from here to there? But yeah. The instructions say that you're supposed to walk across that chasm. What do you do? Well, eventually figures it out. Takes some rocks and sands and throws it, and here there's a rock bridge there all the time, camouflaged by the wall on the other side.
Yeah.
And he's able to walk across to safety. Me, by the way, I'd be crawling across to safety, but that's a different thing. See, the fascinating thing is most people believe in unseen realities. Mm-hmm. Our pop culture is full of shows about aliens among us. We just can't see them. Which ones are they? Zombies among us. Why are zombies so popular right now? I think in part because the world is a little bit scary. And so it's part of this just natural psychology. It's fantasy, and we know that, but what if there are forces at work among us that we can't always see? Superheroes among us. And of course, the news is full of viruses among us that we can't see. So we haven't really tried hard in the past 4 weeks to persuade you that unseen realities are real. What we wanted to remind you is that the realest unseen realities are good. They're for us, not against us. Mm-hmm. So for the past 4 weeks, we've explored four aspects of what is really one unseen reality, all connected. First, we talked about God, who shows up in so many different ways, but is, in one sense, unseen by us, and that's why it's a matter of faith. And then we did our first ever message on angels.
Yes.
The angels among us, and how, again, that once in a while we get a glimpse, but an awareness of the fact that we're not alone as we wander through this world. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is the church, which, of course, has its physical, visible manifestations in us, but is connected even across centuries and across time with this whole communion of saints. Mm-hmm. And that through us, and even beyond us, the kingdom of God is at work in the world.
Yeah.
And then there's the future, which we cannot see because it hasn't happened yet. But it's moving forward the future is actually moving toward us. Mm-hmm. So we experience what God has for us.
Yeah. And we received some really tremendous feedback, thank you, during this series. So what we want to do, because it's great for us to hear your stories, you know, and the questions that you're asking and just some of the experiences that you're having. But we like, when we're having this kind of feedback, to open it up so that we can hear from each other, right? It's not just Tony and I getting the benefit of this. So we're going to open up a time for you to share with each other what's been happening. Here are a few questions which might help you to focus your sharing. How have you seen unseen realities in the last month or so? Have you had insights, ideas that are new or actually making connections with some things that you'd experienced or known in the past? Shifts in perspective or new ways of living each week. You know, it seemed like God kept bringing us back to the same set of responses. Why does it matter? Faith, hope, and love. What have you been noticing about how you're actually being changed by this? How you're making different choices? How maybe the Holy Spirit is empowering you to live in some ways that are ways that you've been wanting to live for a long time. Whatever that looks like for you, new ways of living. And then the second question, big question, is how has God encouraged you? You know, through all of the grace that you've been receiving, the things you've been seeing of unseen realities.
So how do we do this when some of us are here and some of us are there? And we can do this. We worked it out. If everything goes as planned. So if you're online and you would like to participate, we'd love to hear from you. You can do this one of two ways. If you're watching on YouTube, there is something called a live chat. You may have to get off a full screen in order to be able to see it. And it's probably on the right side of your screen. And you'll see an invitation there from Hosanna saying, you know, enter your chat here. And so you can write something into that and hit submit. And it'll show up and we'll be able to see it at this end if all goes well. If you are on a TV or something, you may not be able to do that through YouTube. So the other option, or even if you wanted to do it, just prefer this way, is to go over to our Facebook page and go to the top post, which is the invitation to today's service. It's the top post. It's pinned there, and you can just write something in the comments line. So we're going to be monitoring both the YouTube live chat and the Facebook comments. And if you want to share that way, that works. Jeff and Amy, did I get that all right? Thank you. Okay.
All good.
If you're here in the building, this is a lot easier, but it is different than what we normally do because it's not really too sanitary to pass the microphone around the room.
Right, right.
So we got the mic up here, and I know some of you are like, standing in front of a group of people is my least favorite thing to do. Mine too. Seriously, I love you, so I do this, but yeah, I'm not terribly fond of it myself, so you can do it among friends. If God has given you something to say, come up and share this microphone here. Try not to touch the mic, but get in nice and close, and Deb will wipe it down between each time, and so we'll all be good, and we won't share any germs with one another.
Yeah.
Good deal? Okay, you know what we're doing.
Yes. Were you going to share something else?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yeah. We had another sharing time back end of July, early August, that was it was before we started this series, and it was more directed toward the pandemic. But there were some reflections here that were really awesome, and there were a few afterwards. One person among us sent us some reflections afterwards that were really cool, and we asked permission to share them, and we haven't yet. Sharon, may I read a portion of what you gave us? Okay, it's edited down a little bit to be a little bit more specific to this, because it wasn't specifically an address to this question, but it's the kind of reflection that just, was good for our soul. And we thought maybe the rest of you would benefit. Sharon had written, "Personally, the pandemic stopped me in my tracks and changed my routine. I realized that I could live with less stuff and tried to escape some materialism. I realized that people needed to see God's grace and not his judgment in our actions. I realized how we take so much for granted.
Yep.
Holding hands, sharing appetizers, sitting with our aging parents, listening to someone, and watching facial expressions carefully. Oh, so hard to see people's faces through the mask. The sounds of groups of playing children. Maybe we will appreciate these things when the pandemic is over. I also realized how horrible the heart of racism is and how ingrained it is in our society and how reluctant people are to let go of this racism. So I wrote about how important it is for us to stick together, support each other, and stop the division in our communities and in our country. And we can do that by honoring everyone. Mm-hmm. I see that it's important during a pandemic or a storm or a riot or anything to keep your feet firmly planted on Jesus, who is the model of perfect grace and love, and this will provide peace in any storm."
Right.
Powerful peace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
You're welcome, by the way, to add to that or amplify it or anything to Sharon, Tom.
Right.
But we didn't want that one to go unnoticed. It was just this beautiful
and
thing.
It connects so well, because what Sharon is noticing in her own life is something we've all been experiencing. The unseen reality of this virus changed everything externally for us. Now, how we respond, though, is our choice. That's our choice. And so Sharon was noticing, wow, my whole life is reordered because of this unseen reality of the virus. So how then do we live in response to that? How do we allow our responses to be reordered in a way that allows people to see the unseen reality, not of a virus, but of Christ? And I think if we would want anything to be viral, it would be the grace of God. It would be the love of Christ. It would be our ability to incarnate the life of Jesus that he lived here on earth, 2,000 years ago, to incarnate in our life so that he can live his life in a way that can be seen by others through us. So it was a really beautiful way to that feedback was a beautiful way to connect into the heart of the series, and what we've been doing for the last month. So enough introduction. We'll leave that screen up. As always, Tony said, why do we always come up with questions for them? Because they share what they want to anyway. It's like, I know. One of the things I love about Hosanna is that old saying of, leading Hosanna is like herding cats. They don't follow you like dogs do. You can't like get behind him and push him ahead like sheep. That's just not exactly how it works here.
That's why Deb the Cat Lady is the most beloved among us.
So all of that said, and because we are a much smaller group than even usual for our COVID congregation here in the building because of the holiday weekend, we're hoping, please, that you'll come on up and share what?
Who's first?
Yeah, unseen realities. What have you been seeing? And we'll welcome you to come. And folks online, feel free. Nothing? Well, this may be an early service dismissal.
I bet you if we took the microphone to the back of the building.
What about your, because we were saying after the Angel Week, we got a lot of feedback about that message. And angel stories, you know, angel sightings. Okay, Deb.
Yeah. And you can take your mask off when you're up here talking, so. Yeah, so we can hear you.
Shifts in perspective and new ways of living. For the last 7 years, I've been working two jobs, my full-time job here at Hosanna and a part-time job of 20, 22 hours. And then the pandemic hit, and we went into lockdown. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful because it made me stop. I had to just stop because, you know, and I really felt like I heard God saying to me, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I realized it's like for 7 years, I love my job here. I loved my other job, my part-time job. But my schedule was like running here and running here. And when am I at Hosanna? And when am I at Safe Communities? And all this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And then it's like the work I do, you know, in both jobs can be heavy and sad at times. And God's voice, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're getting older. You can't keep going like this. And so I made the hard decision to resign from my part-time job. The thing that just, I think, got to me the most was what God just honed in for me was this place, Hosanna, is my heart. This place, you people here and online, you're my home. And you know, it's like when I made the decision, I went to bed and I got up the next morning. I never used this word, but I woke up and I felt giddy. It was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this was, you know, and then God again saying, don't fill the space up. Don't fill it up. Don't fill those hours up. Leave it spacious with my job here and connecting with you folks. And it was like, I can't even begin to tell you the sense of freedom, that and the grace. I look back and I think, I don't know how I did it for 7 years of just chaotic living, really.
Yeah.
So I'm just really grateful. And that you're stuck with me. You're my home.
I know.
You're my family.
Hey, Deb, before you go.
We got to keep Deb.
Yeah, before you go, can you say something about faith, your faith, and how you were stretched in order to make those changes?
I mean, as far as
Yes. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to say. But.
I think part of, you know, I'm single. And it's like, I really felt like probably years before the 7 years that God was saying, you know, you got to trust me. Nope. Again. I do, but it was always my but. Because it was like the money. I need the money. I need the money to pay my bills. I need the money to help my kids. I need, you know, all of this stuff, all these excuses. And it got to the point where, you know what? I know God's going to take care of me. I know it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. He's going to take care of me. The money, yeah. It was a good chunk of money for my part-time job that I was losing. But you know what? When it boils all down to it, how much do we really need? Mm-hmm. What really matters? And it was scary. Yeah. Joanne knows. I told her. It's like, oh, my gosh. It feels like, you know. But you know what? God's been meeting my needs above and beyond what I've ever expected. Mm-hmm. So that was a real faith step for me, a real trust, you know, for my trust to go deeper in God.
Yeah. So, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Deb. So I hear you talking about the reality, the invisible reality of God. Yep. And the church, you know, and the body of Christ and that invisible, visible reality. But also about the gap between what we believe in our heads and how we actually live. And you know, the way we live is what we believe. No matter what we tell ourselves. We might say we believe all this great stuff. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, how do you know people? Like, how do you discern whether even a teacher is saying something that's true or not? Look at the fruit of their life. In other words, words matter to a degree because the words themselves allow our minds to be changed, for us to have new insights, for us to be open to new experiences. All of that's important. But the words are just words. If they don't move from here to here out, and then out into our lives so that you actually made a change in your life, and you actually had, you didn't have to, but you chose to bridge the gap between head, what we say we believe, and what we actually do as a result of that. So, thanks, Deb. Thanks for sharing that. And it is challenging. Even as I say that, I sense it. I can sense, it makes us a little skittish, doesn't it? Inside, because it does. The rubber meets the road. It's like, are we just going to continue talking about God, talking about the Bible, noticing there's lots of fun things, and the scriptures are fun. There's, you know, lots of fun stuff to notice in there. And it's not that we stop that, but if it's not changing us, then why does it matter, right? That's the question this morning. So, yeah. What else? Who else would like to?
Looks like Dave is.
Yes. Thanks, Dave.
Dave always has a good word for us.
I know. It's like it's all in there. Don't be afraid to come up.
Just so you know, the best part about coming up to share today is I get rid of it. It's worth it.
Right.
Well, there's a number of things that I heard this morning. I just want to endorse this peace.
Yeah.
I endorse that. I decree that.
Oh.
Over Hosanna. May it fall. Mm. Through this whole time, I have experienced peace. You can't define it. You live it. You dwell in it. You soak it up. Body, soul, and spirit. In the midst of the whole beginning of this whole panic, had that. And I have circumstances that there's no way that made sense. I was grateful that I got to work through this whole entire time. I put thousands of miles on. My job takes me from here to the New York line every day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
50, 60,000 miles, and God's with me every moment.
Yeah.
He wakes me up early. I don't even use an alarm clock. It's set, but I never wake up by it. I've heard him wake me up several mornings, and it's just the sweet stillness of his peaceful voice. Mm-hmm. As I went through 2 or 3 months of this, I've certainly had circumstances that would say it would challenge every bit of that. I had surgery. expenses and everything that go along with that, and the life of a single person is not easy. Go home every night by yourself, mm-hmm. and you don't see anyone. You go through days, you have to wear a mask around everybody, and you just look at eyes, and a lot of people, masks change people. Mm-hmm. They look a different way, they act differently, but this stays the same for me, mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's where I live out of. Mm-hmm. God started to show me in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the peace that I have is the secret place. The secret place is when unseen realities become where you see from. Mm-hmm. It's where you dwell mm-hmm. from. It's body, mm-hmm. it's soul,
yeah.
and it's spirit. I've spent more time talking in the last 3-4 months than I have in my entire life because I spend it with him, just communing and talking. And the unseen reality is, he showed me, Dave, you know, the greatest thing that Adam and Eve lost when they fell was the unseen reality. When the Lord said, where are you, Adam? He knew that Adam and Eve had lost the spirit realm. Mm. They tried to clothe themselves with creation, mm. and that's what we do. A lot of creation takes us away and we avoid. I'm reading through the Old Testament again. Yeah, the Israelites were so frightened by the voice of their creator. Only Moses could go. Mm. I don't want that. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear and see whatever I'm allowed to see of his presence. Mm-hmm. That secret place has been with me every day. If you don't have that, you'll get the secret place every once in a while in your life, and then you retreat from it, or you're busy to go on to something else, and you talk about it. Mm-hmm. But can you stay there? Can you linger?
Yeah.
You have to linger there in order to know where that is, because you fill that vacuum with other things. And that's something for me that I've really realized, simplifying the precious, just the pristine things of spending some unified time with the Lord or with mm-hmm. an individual. Mm-hmm. Staying on a theme. What is the theme that's going on in your life? Can you allow yourself to just be right where you are? I'm planted right here in these shoes mm-hmm. today.
Yeah.
It's not about what I'm projecting right. to anyone else. It's who I am.
Yes.
And how I am being seen in the spirit. And he loves me just that way. Mm-hmm. I love sharing that time with him. Creation speaks to me. Music speaks to me. My job speaks to me. It's a testimony to him. It's not about my natural gifts and my spiritual gifts. Because if you're just horizontal on that, you can busy yourself. You can employ yourself all day. And every week, your job can be your ministry. But if you don't have ministry personally with him, you lack a lot more in what you really know. And you justify a monetary value, you monetary the next contract, you magnify how you're providing for your family, but that intimacy with him, that secret place is where he wants you to be.
Yeah, wow. Thanks. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Oh.
We do have,
<laughs> What was that sound? <laughs> We do
have a post in process online. We missed apparently the beginning of it, so Jeff and Amy are working on that. And
okay.
In the meantime.
What about you, Tony? What would you like to share about your own experience? You're being very quiet over there. Oh, why? Yeah. Was someone else going to share?
No, I was connecting a bit with Deb as comment as well with what's been going on with me this summer through this pandemic. I'll do the short version of this, but in the middle of a pandemic, the school that I lead has merged with another institution. So, you know, it wasn't enough to have one major complication in life to add another one on top of it. And of course, in addition to what we've been doing here, and so the last 6 months have been probably the most intense of my professional life. But grace every step of the way. The unseen grace, there when I need it. The very fact that we have this opportunity to merge with this other institution is grace. We've been looking to do this for strategic reasons for some years, and a couple of the schools we talked to, it just weren't the right fit, and suddenly God sent you know, one that just is exactly what it is that we wanted and needed and didn't know that we did. And we have this opportunity to partner together. For the first time in 10 years, I have a boss, because I've been leading the school, but now we're part of a network, and there's somebody over top of that. But there's been grace in that, and God has provided the money and the students. We have the best, more students this fall than we've ever had, despite the fact of the pandemic, the school.
Yeah.
So what it's done to me spiritually is just every step of the way, in the very moments when it feels like things should be the darkest, when things are most tumultuous, it's every step of the way I've experienced this unseen reality of God's presence and the grace that has been there. And I've had my moments, but in the middle of those moments, there's always been that something else in the air. When Joanne suggested we do something on unseen realities, it's like, wow, my goodness, that's what I've been living for these months. And that has been a deeply meaningful experience to me. So part of what I've been bringing to you the last 4 weeks is just my own experience of trying to live this in real time in the middle of all the tumult.
Yeah.
God has been good. God continues to be good.
Yeah.
Some of you know that anxiety has been a longtime friend of mine. He visits me less often than he used to. During the pandemic, he stopped by once in a while saying, "Don't you want me back?" And it was amazing how much grace there was now, having walked with God so intimately in recent years, to be able to say, actually, go away. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes there was a 5-minute conversation on the front door, but it's been awesome.
Yeah. How about the rest of you? What have you been noticing?
Julie.
Didn't want to come up first.
Oh.
I'm going to go down through a list of grace and trust on my part. When the pandemic started, my biggest fear was for my oldest daughter. She's a respiratory therapist at LGH. She works 4 days 1 week, 3 days the other week, and was given no option. We have COVID patients. You're a respiratory therapist. This is where you'll work. She also works at Women's and Babies, but she was pulled from there because they needed her at the hospital. We didn't have physical contact for 4 months. She wanted us, Jay and I, to stay safe. I didn't see my grandchildren. I texted and FaceTimed, and it was pretty difficult. But trust, I just felt in every part of my being that she was going to be safe. She's very much like her father. They give you a protocol to follow. She follows it to the T. She's not like me. I let things slide. But she wears the right gear, and she covers up, and she wears the right mask. And her first night, she called me on the way home from work crying and said, "Mom, I had 9 patients tonight, and 8 of them are going to die." And it was just heartbreaking. And I said to her, I tell her this all the time, I don't know that she believes me, but God in her is God touching them.
Yes.
And to remember that,
yeah,
that God was with them because you brought him to them. Mm-hmm. So she's been clear. She's not tested positive. Everybody has remained healthy. We have social distanced and seen them now. So all is well that way. The first week, my husband was told the whole company is closing down and he'll be working 20 hours a week, which was sort of a concern because we depend on his insurance and we didn't know what was going to happen. At the end of the first week, his boss came in and said, "I need someone here 40 hours a week and you're the man." So Jay did not lose any hours, and we didn't lose insurance. So I've seen provision and grace through that. I'm Joey's direct care worker. I just received hazard pay, which I had no idea was coming from the state.
Wow!
Because I'm an essential worker to keep my son safe. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we didn't have to make changes and adjustments for his welfare. He's home. After 4 months, he went back to work one day a week. They socially distance at work, but it gets him out and gets him around other people. My daughter Jillian, who some of you probably don't know real well, she hasn't lived with us for a long time. She lives in a staff-supported apartment in Mannheim, and she lives semi-independently. She gets staff 12 hours a week. I have been banging the doors down for years that that's not enough help for her. So something that could have been tragic, she overdosed on her medication. She wasn't taking it properly. It was accidental. It wasn't on purpose. Mm-hmm. She landed in the emergency room, and the social worker from the hospital called Adult Protective Services. My daughter now has staff support every single day and on the weekends, which is right. What we wanted. So it's an answer to prayer. I've learned to slow down. I'm actually enjoying not getting up and thinking, oh, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do this. I don't. It's like God has been saying, you have every ability to slow down. The only negative is the extrovert in me is crying. Yeah. It's like, I want my friends. I want to go to lunch. I want to see somebody. I want to talk to somebody other than my son and my husband and my dogs. So that's where I'm at. I had one sort of blessing in the park the other day. There was a man sitting on one of the benches, and I take my lab up to the park, and she can go off leash, and she retrieves the ball back and forth. And we do it until she can't run anymore. It's just our little thing. And there was this man sitting on the bench alone, and he was watching. And when we got up and walked around, he said, that dog needs to be playing for the Phillies as an outfielder. And thank you for sharing her with me. And it was like,
yeah,
small, simple things, small, simple gestures. A dog retrieving a ball made somebody's day.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Julie.
I've seen the Phillies play. I suspect maybe he is their outfielder. No.
Is that post?
We have a partial comment that I think we missed some of it about an experience in a stairway and feeling God's loving care and presence with me. We don't get the context of that, but I'm grateful for the reference to it. And if we get the rest of it, we can share it. But.
Yeah, yeah. What else have you all been experiencing?
Oh, I'm... Thank you,
yes.
Lance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lance.
We're all doing awes. Maybe you'll...
Yeah. Yep.
So I just wanted to share, I had a major shift in my perspective about a month ago. My brother, Gary, we lost him to suicide. He had battled a number of years with issues, and he lost his battle with that. And so that's been, obviously, like I said, a major shift in my perspective. Gary was, I think probably many of you knew Gary. He was here for probably 8 or 10 years. He was from the Pittsburgh area, Cranberry Township, and moved out here and lived for, I think, about 10 years, and then he moved back. But he was very active at Hosanna here, and especially with the kids ministry, and
we loved him.
Yeah,
it's just really caused a shift and caused our whole family to see the grace of God through everything that you all have done, the calls, the cards, making. Several of you made the trip out for the funeral, and we really appreciated that. But it's just helped, I think it's really helped our family to grow closer together. I have three other siblings and a pretty big extended family, but my siblings, we always sort of just were going our own ways. But I think this really helps us to see our place and how we can support each other more. And you know, unfortunately, I think this horrible thing had to happen, but God uses it.
Right.
He'll use everything, even the most horrible things, to do his will. And I believe that he is going to use this to do his will in the world. And I did want to just express thanks to everyone for all the love and support. Thank you.
So before you sit down, can I ask you, so what's changed about what do you know about God? What do you know about faith and love and hope now that you didn't know prior to this?
I think I know that God is with us even when we don't feel him there or think that he's there. I know he was with Gary. Gary had a strong faith, and he knew the Lord. And you know, even though the darkness took over, the Lord was still with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I know he's in a better place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just a matter of knowing that he's with us, even if we don't feel him or know that he's there. He's there. The Holy Spirit's there, and that can be our source of hope.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Nance.
You said it well, and I think it really is a testimony to something that, if we're going to mature in faith in Christ, we have got to be weaned off of our addiction to judging reality according to what we're feeling in any given moment, you know? Or how is God going to reveal, like, his desire for future things? We talked about that last week. If we're just so locked in to certain interpretations of Scripture or just certain things that we don't have to be, that aren't written in concrete. You know, the things that matter: Christ is Lord, God is real. There are certain things in our faith. Absolutely, there's no discussion. There's no reinterpretation of that. This is where we stand. But that we don't get married to certain theological concepts, right? Because I'm here, you were stretched in so many ways in your family, even about mental health. Yeah, someone can still love Christ and get to a place of being so overwhelmed and so confused that something like that can happen. But God isn't suddenly pointing a finger at Gary in the midst of his confusion and struggle and despair and saying, "You're bad. I don't love you anymore. I'm not with you. I'm going to abandon you." We need to have the freedom. And that takes faith, folks. Deep faith. To be able to look at what we say we believe, it's all tying together, right? To say what we humans think about things is always partial. That was one of the points that we made in this series just last week. It's partial. Even what we can understand of what God tells us outside, you know, beyond our human thinking, it's still partial. And it takes great faith to be able to stand not only in what we do know with certainty, but to stand in the things that we don't feel with certainty or that we can't know because we're not God. Does that make sense? And we're being invited, not only here at Hosanna, we've been on this journey together for a long time as a prophetic people, but as the church at large, how can we, you know, here in this place, begin to do the work here of pulling down the dividing walls that are already down in Christ, of listening to each other in ways that we're honoring each other and not just pushing people away because they're not saying things exactly the way we think they should, or they're not believing things exactly the way they think they should. We think they should. You know, there's just so much invitation here to grow in our faith, our hope, and our love. And so thank you for sharing, because that is reality. That's really real.
I want to follow up on another thing that Lance was, I think, pointing to a little bit. One of the unseen realities that has become very seen in recent months is the reality of death. We get the daily tolls in the news.
Yes.
And here at Hosanna, we've lost a number of our friends this summer, just unexpectedly, every single one, and it's shocking. But even that, which seems to do the greatest damage to us, God has taken the sting out of.
Yeah.
And so this idea of death is not, you know, death is not the end. God, you know, our friends are with God, who loves them, who is with them the whole way through, and there is life on the other side. Even that, which seems to be such a terrible enemy to us, the God, the unseen reality of God, is greater than that, and His grace is greater than that, and it doesn't get the last word either. So there's stuff we can hold on to, and we need to hold on to now, lest we get so overwhelmed by what seems to be more real. Even death is not more real than the love of God.
Okay. Other sharing? Things being sparked as you're listening to what others are saying? Oh, okay. There's movement in the back of the room.
Thank you, Gary, for sharing. Your brother's greatly missed, and he was a gem to our kids' ministry. I remember him dearly, so thank you. But your sharing's been wonderful. Thank you. The COVID opened up time and space for me to serve in hidden ways that I love to do. But some things that God, you know, God speaks to me through nature, people, everything. But one day I was cleaning somebody's yard, and the number five, I love the number five, okay? I just love it. Somebody told me this represents grace. Well, I found a $5 bill while I was raking. I'm like, a $5 bill? So that $5 bill is now under my car mat, and I won't spend it. It's there. So I'm carrying this grace with me all the time. And then yesterday I was cleaning a yard, and I felt something really big on my back just before I was winding up the job. It wasn't my yard, somebody else's. And I went like, ooh, it was a praying mantis. The praying mantis then landed on my car, and I couldn't leave on the tire. And I'm like, I can't leave. You have to get off my car. So I had to cut a branch off a tree and stick it on there and then put the praying mantis back in the yard because I don't want to hurt the thing. But I love praying mantis, you know.
Invitation to prayer.
These are the little things. And then I know this might sound weird, but we have three little frogs living in our backyard, and every day I go out and check on them, and I think it's like, for me, it's like a fun little game like the Trinity. So these three little frogs pop their heads out, and I'll say good morning, then they hop back in. But my dog doesn't hurt them, and I'm just like, it brings me joy to go outside and find these three little frogs. Because I don't live near water. They found this water. And I'm like, this is just weird. And then one other thing, I was driving somewhere, and I went to the store to buy something. I came out, and there was a greeting card sitting right outside my car, not in an envelope. And it said, thank you for all the things you do. And no signature. And I'm like, where did this card? So now this card is sitting in my kitchen on a shelf because I'm like, who did this? So that's real. That's my life. Okay.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. Yeah. And you're, yes, and you're illustrating something we talked about too, which is that God speaks through, the Creator speaks to us through what's created, and that there, if we can allow ourselves to see it, there isn't like this split between what is physical and what's spiritual. It's a both and, right? So God shows us invisible realities so that we can together make them seen real in this world, physically real. But it works the other way. God uses all, and like your faces sometimes, you know, as I'm standing up here, and now I can only see your eyes now, but over the years, just some of your faces will light up, or God will draw my attention, you know, as we stand up here and we're kind of looking around the room, to a person, a particular person who might be here. And then after the service, I'll often talk to that person. Because it's like God is speaking, always speaking, mm-hmm. right? Always communicating. And for us to be more open to the ways in which God communicates, even if they sound a little woo-woo.
Well, here's one. The value of coincidence. Here's an online, this is the one we've been waiting to get the rest of the story for. This is from Lee online. She says, my dad turns 99 years old today.
Happy
wow.
birthday.
This week I delivered some items to the receptionist so that they could be taken to the unit at Landis Homes where he lives in skilled nursing. Right after I delivered his items to the receptionist, my mother told me she had a birthday card for Daddy. I didn't want to bother the receptionist again, so I went to a side door of Daddy's unit, which was at the end of a long hallway. I prayed that a staff member would come by and I could give this card to them. After praying for a few minutes and waiting, lo and behold, the very staff member who I wanted to see came down the inside fire escape stairwell, out of the door, right inside where I was standing.
Yeah.
I was able to alert her and give the card to my father, give the card to her. Later that day, we had a great Zoom meeting with my dad in his room, my mother in her apartment, my brother scattered throughout the eastern United States. So the reflection is God is good, and throughout these last months, I have felt his presence with me. I have felt peace, and I'm thankful that this unseen reality of God's love is with us every day.
Wow.
I love that. Just the grace of the everyday thing. You know, it's not like we demand these things of God, but God, could you just do this little, just give me this little grace because my, you know, I love my dad and I want to do that.
Absolutely.
And see God in this ordinary life.
Yeah. And I think it's a wonderful way to tie everything together and begin to bring this to a close as well, because as you're reading that, and it's, does it happen all the time? No. But the book of Acts is what I'm thinking about. And how often, you know, just what's needed appears. Paul will pray, and then something will happen. And it's not because it's Paul or Peter or any of the other real special holy ones, right? It's for all of us. And that Lee had the trust to just in the moment say, I have this card. Okay, a card. It matters to my father. So God, please send this person. We don't have to understand what's happening in that person and the timing of it all in order to trust and just have our faith be built, to be encouraged, to have hope that if God's doing that for others and we can see it, you know what? When we need it, God's going to be doing that for us as well. So it's good. Wonderful.
And this might be a good time and a good note for us to close on.
Yes. Well, we're going to close with a just kind of a blessing prayer, declaration prayer, asking God, just thanking God and asking God for that we would continue. After the series is closed, it wouldn't go out of our minds and out of our hearts, but that we would continue to live in the unseen realities of God, bringing them together, living both and lives, right? And I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray this together. And for those of you in your living rooms, you can stand if you'd like to, but we hope that you'll join us in this closing prayer. Loving God, may we all grow together in faith, increase in hope, and deepen in love. May we have confidence that what we deeply hope will actually happen in the fullness of your time. May we live in the assurance that your unseen realities are beyond what we could ask or think, far more than we could ever imagine, present and available in every moment of our lives.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see what others cannot. Empower us to live in these unseen realities for all to see, and fill us with overflowing faith that knows beyond our knowing that the best is yet to be. Amen.
Amen. It is.
Have a wonderful rest of the weekend.